Storyteller's Night at Jesse Brown's takes place Thursday, September 19th. Come hear your neighbor's adventure. Hi, this is Bill Barty saying this wonderful franchise at Jesse Brown's invites three different storytellers to tell their 20-minute story. You're invited. Again, Thursday, September 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Jesse Brown's.
All right, we're back on the Carolina Outdoors, back from the mission trip, and you know, a lot of people take that long hike on the Appalachian Trail, and once you've done that, what do you do next?
That's a great question, Don, and we heard about a few Appalachian Trail hikes, one of which was at Storyteller's Night at Jesse Brown's several years ago. Rich Dayleader came on, and we have another event September 19th, another Storyteller's Night at Jesse Brown's event. Come hear a neighbor's adventure, three 20-minute stories from 6 to 8 that Thursday, September 19th night. Rich Dayleader was one of those storytellers who told about hiking the Appalachian Trail. And since then, that was a career change at the time, and he took on the trail, successfully finished that. But yet, last we spoke to him, he had retired from his job and went off to take on the Pacific Crest Trail, and that's a 2,600-mile bugaboo from Mexico almost all the way to Canada. We're going to bring him on now to find out about the lay of the land of the Pacific Crest Trail and all of the sights and sounds that he saw on his hike. Rich Dayleader, welcome to the Carolina Outdoors.
Hey, Bill. Hello, Don. How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me on again.
We're doing fantastic. It's great to hear that voice, especially after the last time that we spoke. You were en route to take on the Pacific Crest Trail, and Rich, you logged it through your Instagram site, Sabbatical Trek, so we can put that out there so people can go back and kind of see what you had through your hike on the Pacific Crest Trail. But talk to us about the beginning stages of it, because you have to have a permit to get on the Pacific Crest Trail, and it's very specific. Tell us about that.
Sure. You know, they really try to limit to 3,000 people, and if you're going to do more than 500 miles on any section of the PCT, you have to have a permit. So it's fairly difficult to get one. They have a, you know, like an online lottery, and, you know, I think I was like 30 seconds late at the start of the lottery. I was number 3,600, but I did get a permit. I started on May 10th, and which is actually late by hiker standards. And the issue was is that they had so much snow in the Sierras that it caused a big bubble of the earlier hikers to get backed up, and that caused some problems where hikers sort of jumped around from section to section. Some of them went to the north and started hiking south. So it's been a very unique year from the standpoint that it's not a start in Mexico, go to Washington for the majority of people. A lot of people did different combinations of the distance.
So a long distance hike is a very logistical thing anyway. So when that kind of bubble happens, and again, they had severe snowpack, I mean, feet of snow, and we kept up with you through that, and other prior year hikers would say, I wonder how they're going to handle this. How do you handle that kind of logistical nightmare of switching gears and getting to another part of the trail? Is that hitchhiking? Do you catch a bus? Do you catch an Uber? How do you do all that?
It is a big issue. And what happened was I was able to do about 700 miles. I got to Lone Pine, California, which is just at the southern base of the Sierras. And that's where a lot of the hikers got waylaid, or they basically just hunkered down waiting for the weather to improve. I was with another guy, and we decided that, we would go up to Washington State and then start hiking down, because Washington State actually had less snow than average, and it was actually a little bit easier to get up there and to get going. Now, the slightly unusual thing is we got up there in my hiking partner's private jet, who I had met on the trail, and he confessed that he owned a part of a jet, and so he flew us up there from the middle of California to the Canadian border.
Well, we would call that well played. My goodness, that's certainly a wonderful way to get there. Now, tell us the difference between the Pacific Crest Trail and the Appalachian Trail.
Sure, and it's funny because I asked that of a lot of the young hikers out on the trail why they picked the PCT over the AT, and probably the biggest thing is the vistas are just incredible through Washington, Oregon, and California, and I think that's what is very attractive to a lot of European hikers to just see, you know, the mountains and the valleys and the rivers, etc. So the big difference is the AT is sort of known as the green tunnel, where a lot of your hiking is through, you know, woods, both in the U.S. Forest Territory or the you know, National Park Service lands. So you tend to have fewer views on the AT, unless your view of trees is a good one. The PCT has a lot of incredible mountain vistas. It seems like you're at 7,000 or 8,000 feet at all times. It's just incredible.
No,
the views that you get.
Now, people come from Europe to do this?
Oh yeah, it's very, very popular. It's a way for you know, the young millennials to see, or in their mind to see, the United States, and they get a great view of the western part of the country.
Fantastic. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Rich Dayleader, a recent hiker of the Pacific Crest Trail, also founder of Sabbatical Trek and prior AT hiker. And Rich, do you have a trail name like you do on the Appalachian Trail? Does your trail name carry with you wherever you go, or do you get a whole new one on the PCT?
No, I kept the same AT trail name, which was the leader of the trail. But 10 years later, I was definitely the follower of the trail because I couldn't keep up with most of the young hikers on the trail.
With that being, I think we can all relate a bit to that. But with that being said, you did, I think, have some of your personal best hikes on this Pacific Crest Trail. Will you tell us about a long day on a long-distance hike?
Sure. On the Pacific Crest Trail, I really averaged 18 miles in the 700 miles of California per day. In Washington State, I averaged 18.7 miles. And in Oregon, I averaged 24 miles per day. And that compares to the Appalachian Trail, where I averaged, you know, about 15.36 miles per hiking day. So it was, even though I'm older and the follower, I was doing more miles than I did on the AT per day.
All right. Now, a lot of times on the Appalachian Trail, we talk about trail magic. Other than a trip in a private jet, what kind of trail magic did you encounter? Not that that's going to be easy to beat.
The best form of the best type of trail magic anybody could have on the trail. But, you know, it's interesting. The PCT, there are fewer towns as you go through. And the opportunities for trail magic from former hikers that come out on the trail and meet you with food or drinks, much less prevalent on the PCT. But when it happened, it was just such a great surprise that it was it was very, very much a celebration when you found somebody. But the PCT is just fewer towns and fewer people sort of per mile than the AT. And I'm sort of a social animal. I enjoy running into other people and stopping and learning more about them, and also going to see the trail towns, because, you know, the trail towns and the townspeople typically are very, very appreciative of people coming through their town. It does some economic good, and it's a great way to sort of just see the country and see the people.
Fantastic. It sounds like you knocked out, or you still have about 1,000 miles left to knock out on the trail to complete the entire thing. It's 2,600 plus miles. You've got 1,600. Tell us about physical ailments and that sort of thing, and what next year will look like compared to the 1,600 that you knocked out in 2019.
Sure. Yeah. I basically did 700 miles in California, all of the 500 miles in Washington, and about 440 of the 460 miles in Oregon before my left knee gave out. And I have to go see my doctor there in Charlotte at Ortho Carolina to see whether I need a knee replacement. But the hope is whether I need one or not, I'll get back out on the trail next summer. I have to basically go from one day of hiking in Oregon and then about 1,000 miles of trail from the northern California border with Oregon through the Sierras. And so the nice thing about that is I'll complete the trail on top of Mount Whitney, which is the highest point in the continental United States. So it'll be like a Katahdin type of finish versus, finishing in the woods at the border with Canada.
Well, a bum knee will give you time to continue working on Sabbatical Trek. You have a ton of content on your Instagram page. Tell us about that, what you foresee Sabbatical Trek becoming during your off time off the trail.
Sure. You know, the idea is that, employers have realized that a lot of people, and especially the millennials, value time off as much as they do extra pay. And they use sabbaticals or, you know, paid leave as a form of retention and recruitment. And some of the companies I've spoken to, a lot of the law firms, they like the idea of using that as a way to incent and to retain employees, but they don't have the system in place. And a lot of them want to outsource the idea. And a sabbatical doesn't need to be hiking all of the Pacific Crest Trail. It could be going to Italy to learn how to cook. It could be doing mission work with your church. But it's a break from your normal work, and it just sort of rejuvenates you. And the idea is long-distance hiking did it for me. There's probably other ways and other methods that employers would be interested in trying to put this in place for their own employees. And so the concept is, can I sort of assist them in coming up with those ideas and sort of formalizing a program?
Well, we're going to have to keep up with that. Once you get back to Charlotte, we want to keep up with that knee, see what all happens with that, and Sabbatical Trek, and the 2020 Rich Daleader, or the leader of the trail's next adventure. Rich, thank you so much for joining the Outdoor Guys here on the Carolina Outdoors. And by the way, if you need a private jet, Don and I have the Carolina Outdoors plane at the ready for the next time. We're going to take a quick break and be back with more of the Carolina Outdoors.